Hello, Internet. My name is John.
And I'm Britt.
She's the beautiful.
He's the nerdy.
And welcome back to the Self-Centered Network. We're on a sub-show today called The Indigo Files. So, The Indigo Files was an old podcast I had an idea for, and so we're making it a segment here on this show. And today we're going to be watching and reviewing and taking you on a tour through I Choose You, the first episode of the first season of Pokemon. And then we'll just keep going with each individual episode. We will be doing the next individual anime episode, or the next couple, depending on how much we have to say about them. So, let's start with I Choose You. Just immediately before I even talk about a single thing about this episode, I can tell you for sure of one thing. You are always going to have the argument that this is a cartoon-style anime. There's not as much action. It's incredibly action-y, but you got to remember these early ones are comedy-based.
Yeah.
They're really not meant for adults. They're meant for kids. But it's a all-ages anime. I can't really say much more than that. This is the one from our childhood, of course.
Right, yeah.
You might have been conscious by the 2000s, so you would probably fall into Generation 2 more.
That's when I was growing up.
Yeah, you grew up starting with Generation 2.
Because I was born in 97, so I only had 2 years in the 90s.
Yeah. But, you know, it was all pretty cool stuff. This was the Pokemon anime I grew up with, every tape that existed.
I grew up with the, like, Game Boy game for it.
The Game Boy games were fun. I started, because it's weird, I beat Red and Blue, but Crystal was my first.
I can't remember which one was my first.
My first actual Pokemon game was any of the three from the 64.
Right. I just
except
know.
I believe I did not have Puzzle League,
right,
and I didn't own Stadium 2, but I played it a lot.
Yeah, I don't know which one I started on, I just know it was on the Game Boy, and it was, like, the one where you were in, like, the red, I think it is.
Oh, Pokemon Red, that was Generation 1. By the time you were around, it was a little older, though.
Yeah.
Well, I started at Crystal, but I actually played all iterations of Generation 1 and 2.
Right.
At some point, and owned them all at some point. I played all the 64 games except Puzzle League. And I played that when I was a teenager. I like that now, of course, because it's just paneled upon. I mostly cut my teeth on the trading card game, too. I was a fan of that. And the cartoon was actually the first thing I really watched on TV.
Right.
With undivided attention. So, let's get on to it. I don't think I'm legally allowed to not talk about the theme song here in the first Indigo File episode. This song was a call to action for all 90s and 2000s kids. When you were younger, you literally grew up hearing Gotta Catch 'Em All.
I love it.
It is a slogan. It is a way of life. I still adore the concept. I consistently complete every Pokedex I come up against lately.
Right.
Kind of had to stop during the 3DS era and stuff because it did get a little hard. I did have to have a few problems with the Generation 4 decks.
Right.
Brits, I think your story begins and ends in Generation 1 and 2, though, right?
I think so.
Yeah. But recently, during the last bit of the 3DS era and all that, she started hanging with me, and...
Well, now more.
As we all know, I now...
Expanded
her knowledge up to the current generations. And she's learning all the time. With all that, I Choose You is a perfect start to this anime. So for those who might be listening, and listeners of this podcast in general, thank you guys so much for coming up with us. If you want to watch all of the episodes we cover, go to Pokemon TV on YouTube. That's where we're going to watch it. We do have other sources. I actually own the DVDs of this. But anything that's up on Pokemon TV or YouTube, we might even do some of the Poketunes from YouTube someday, then go there. Because that's where we're watching these for free. It actually supports the official release. Just watching them that way, that's the way they're doing it right now.
I love it.
It is absolutely excellent. I also got to mention, Ash is actually sitting there watching basically the beginning to Red and Blue. I'm a little excited, if you can't tell, because I've wanted to do this podcast forever, first of all.
Right.
Thank you so much for joining me to make this a reality, because I can't babble on too much on my own. Have to have people to bounce off of. But yeah, we see some blue lighting and a bit of red lighting in this whole battle scene. And it's basically the intro to the games. Mm-hmm. And we actually pan out to Ash watching it on a television, which is so cool. Very awesome little beginning. Remember that the games came first before the anime. So at this point, Brock and Misty are actually in the future of this show. At the very beginning, Brock and Misty were only gym leaders, which is kind of weird to think about. Until this episode, Misty is the only one of the two that appear here, so cool stuff. So I gotta comment on the fact that Ash is just as Team Rocket will know him. He's a bit of a twerp, okay?
I love how he's just, like, basically reciting a whole mantra.
And suddenly his mom just stops him dead to tell him to go to bed. It's 11.
I love his little alarm clock. Like, it opens up in her hand and she's like, do you have any idea what time it is, basically, is what she's saying.
Yeah, it's absolutely a great scene. He has that quick ego death. And then he gets crashed back down to reality by his mother. She's overly motherly. In fact, later in the episode, she actually completely tells him to change his underwear. It's so degrading, but you gotta love it. You always gotta love them moms. So the twerp's mom just ends up showing him a video of Professor Oak, and I guess it's time, Squirtle, Charmander, or Bulbasaur for you.
I would have chose Bulbasaur.
Oh, man. I do have a big soft spot for Bulbasaur. He was actually very fun for me. That's Jordan's favorite,
either him
in fact.
Or Charmander, because I like Charmander.
I actually did Squirtle as my first, like, blue run, because I had blue. I got red eventually, and that's when I tried Charmander, and Bulbasaur was on red for me. Mm-hmm. So Squirtle, I only did blue because, I mean, blue is my favorite color.
Right.
That was kind of what's funny, is you'd think there was some strategy that I'd have. But we were kids, we didn't know what we were doing.
I can't remember who I chose, but I would choose Bulbasaur, because he's one of my favorites.
Oh, absolutely.
When it comes to starters.
The dream that Ash has is really awesome. It shows him with all the Pokemon.
And shows
out
what
of the
it
three.
Would be like to pick them.
And to be honest, this is a beautiful, beautiful show off of the starters. It was pretty clear that Pikachu was high up in the merch there, just always, but they pushed the starters a little more than people remember.
All I gotta ask the creator of this is, why do you gotta make them so cute? It's so hard to choose between them, because they're so cute.
Well, it's funny that you'd mention it, right? So, Generation 1 and 2 look about the same for so many different Pokemon look the same in Generation 1 and 2. That's why if you see something from one of the original 151 or 251, depending, I think it's 250 actually, but then you're going to know that's a Generation 1 or 2 Pokemon. All the art was done to look good together. And that was what was a real big thing about Pokemon and why we know the 151 we know.
It always makes it so hard to choose, though, because they're all so cute. They got those cute little eyes. And
not everybody
like, oh my goodness.
Not everybody is evenly matched. But there's a huge roster to make almost anybody usable in some form.
Right.
Even if it's in a ROM hack, even. But ROM hacks we might talk about someday. Ash ends up waking up really late and stumbling into Gary as he ran down to Professor Oak's in his freaking pajamas. Yeah. It's so funny to me that this is where it started. We got cheerleaders that
are cheering for Gary.
Were they hired to just drive? He's still a kid.
And then Gary, he's just like, watch where you're going. Oh, you must be Ash.
Yep. The number one rival of Ash for years. Good lord, though. It's actually kind of weird to think about. This is the beginning. Oh, man.
Of a very
long
rivalry.
I always did love this rivalry. It's right up there with, you know, Cloud and Sephiroth and all sorts of video game duos, rivals, Sonic and Shadow.
Naruto and Sasuke.
Yep, bingo. You're getting it for sure. It's just funny to see that this is one of the first beginning moments is Gary being ahead of Ash and running off. You always felt like that in the games, for sure. Because it always felt like the rival was one step ahead of you. This is what made the anime and the game so great, is if you watch the anime and play the game together, they enhance each other so well.
Right.
Because you get to be in Ash's shoes. Last comment on Gary for now is that he sounds like a snot-nosed twerp.
Yeah.
I know I'm calling a lot of people a twerp today, but to be honest, Team Rocket always makes me think of twerps.
I'm
going to
take a note from iCarly's book and say that he's a nub.
A nub?
Yes.
Ooh, they're nubs. I like them being nubs. Let's call them nubs. So he's a snot-nosed nub. That's awesome. And I don't know. He's likable and knowledgeable. That is one thing a lot of people will not say about right. Gary. Some call him a douchebag, some call him asshole.
I feel like his family paid for the ding cheerleader, so.
Well, he is the grandson of Professor Oak, so he probably really does have some money. I mean,
yeah.
He comes from power, if not money. And it kind of just sucks for Ash. Now that we're up to the scene, I gotta say, why did Oak just let him try all those empty Pokeballs?
I don't know. I guess to teach him a lesson that he should be on time.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he is about to go out into the, like, real world, so I think you're right. But then again, I still think it's funny that he had, like, freaking punchlines for each one ready on hand just to be like, I'm a mess with this kid. Oh no, I just, even when I was a kid, I thought it was a mean thing to do. Honorably, looks like it's time for Ash to get Dexter and 6 Pokeballs to start off. It's really kind of nice of Professor Oak to hand all these items over to Ash, even though he was late.
Yep, he got the Dex and the Pokeballs and Pikachu.
On the Pikachu thing.
It's funny, like, he literally tries to hug him and he gets so mad. He electrocutes him.
It's always such a good time when that happens. Also, it's also funny to me that Dexter, until Misty just starts following him around.
Yeah.
In this first episode, Dexter's kind of the only other character that Ash really interacts with very much for a while. Dexter seems more aware here than ever anywhere else in the series. Just kind of an odd thing. Especially because they use the Dex less and less as generations go on.
Right.
It never ends up being any less funny to me that Ash is so inexperienced here. They crank him up to a level 10 in stupidity here. And it is merited. He just now got his first Pokemon.
Right.
But he tied Pikachu with a clothesline his mom gave him to do his laundry. And he packed rubber gloves. And so he's using those for him not to get shocked. At least he's got a good idea going, but dragging Pikachu along by a leash. not a great idea.
Especially since it won't make him very happy.
Yeah. And you expect him to be kind of dumb and blind, but I don't know. Ash is just a level higher than that because he's also pretty arrogant.
Yeah.
That gets him in a lot of trouble in I Choose You. You're definitely right.
He should have just threw the ball at him without all that speech.
Yeah. Like I said, this kid is arrogant as the night, okay? Like,
he's kind of like Team Rocket at this point.
And it's kind of weird to see such a, like, consistent winner in the series be like this.
Right?
He's going for a Pidgey in this scene, which is when the wild Pidgey appears.
But he's given this long speech saying, enjoy your last moments of freedom, because I'm catching you, basically.
Yeah. Weirdly enough, it feels a lot more like he's being possessive of Pokemon rather than befriending. Right. And that's yet another one of his big errors that gets fixed throughout the first season. So, Pikachu is up a tree laughing at him after he throws a ball at the Pidgey, and Pidgey breaks out because it's too healthy.
And the Dex tells him that he usually has to battle his Pokemon with the other Pokemon.
Incredibly funny stuff. And it's kind of funny because this is the one time he makes a really big mistake when dealing with wild Pokemon.
Yeah.
He does a lot of stupid stuff with it, but here he just tries to capture a Pidgey using a backpack.
Right, he tries to do it right away.
And if you've ever seen a video of someone trying to catch a bird with a bag or a coat, you already know what goes on.
Yeah.
And it just turns out bad. Especially in this, because he ends up not even getting a Pidgey. The Pidgey ends up gusting from underneath the bag, and then eventually a Rattata steals food and other things from his bag. Most likely, we technically don't know what it stole. It's clear to me that he is no Bear Grylls.
And still yet, Pikachu is up the tree laughing at him every step of the way.
He sees what he thinks is a Pidgey, and he pisses it off pretty bad. It unfortunately turns out to be Spearow, and they are wildly aggressive. They'll attack Pokemon and trainers. It's explained by Dexter that wild Pokemon are actually pretty jealous of captivated or captured Mon.
I think it's pretty detailed, too, because there's a tear in his eye when you see him.
So Ash hit this Spearow with a rock because he had thrown a rock at a bunch of Pidgey and saw the Spearow in silhouette. Now it's attacking Pikachu. Things are going completely chaotic. And that's when it gets a flock of Spearow. It's kind of interesting because this is implyingly Route 1. We kind of see some, Mankey, some Sandshrew. There's actually a lot more Pokemon here than there is even in Pokemon Yellow. Probably for game balance, obviously, but it's kind of interesting to see. And this is where the beginning is for Ash and Pikachu as friends. It's really just a absolutely magnificent scene where they stand up for one another. And talking about the deep connection is something I am very interested in. However, we're at the part where they're still running from them. The storm hasn't started. I'm getting way ahead of myself. Pulling back to reality, they're running from the Spearow, and eventually they come to a place where Ash jumps off of a waterfall down into the river below, where we see our first glimpse of Misty, just fishing.
Is fishing and catches him.
Yep. And by the way, she pulled out a human and a Pokemon like nothing.
I know, right? So that just leads me to think, God-tier Misty. What kind of strength does this kid have?
Just God-tier. She is S-tier, heavyweight into lifting champion of the world.
I would have never been able to do that as a kid.
Oh, to hell, I wouldn't have. Ah, yes. The infamous bike steal that brings Misty along for years and movies to come.
He literally takes her bike that's got the basket on it, and she's like, hey, what are you doing? That's my bike!
So, he puts Pikachu in the basket, and they start ETing around, and they're still being charged by the Spearows. This is when the rain starts, and things get bad. So, we see what begins one of the biggest internet theories of all time, the Ash Coma theory. It starts here when they think that Ash actually died or is in a coma after this scene. But honestly, I do think they pulled through with barely enough to go on. I kind of just figure it only took a few years, but
right.
Let me tell you, biggest scene of friendship I've ever seen with any Pokemon trainer and a Pokemon in this series, even to this day. Wow.
He sees that Ash is, like, literally protecting him, and he protects him.
Yep. They put the life on the line for each other, and from this point on, there's actually a theory that Pikachu's strength comes from the lightning bolt that hits him in this scene. And, like, it's pretty believable, because that thing just looked like it either would have supercharged Pikachu forever, or looked like it would hurt like all hell.
Right.
But either way, he is permanently more strengthened. We see that Ash is pure of heart. Both of them survive by the skin of their teeth. And Ho-Oh appears to Ash for having nearly sacrificed himself for the good of his Pokemon. We didn't actually know what Ho-Oh was back in these days, but the anime showed us a glimpse of it, because this is during Gen 2's last bit of development, mm-hmm. when it was here in the States, and
right.
maybe even out in Japan. I would have to look up the dates and all, but what an absolutely fantastic episode this was. It's very clear to me that this whole first episode, along with the preview tape, which we might look at someday, it's not really part of the anime, but it is actually a really interesting little case of, like, promotion. It includes one of Ash's teachers and some other stuff. It was an odd thing. But, what do you think about this episode?
I love this episode. It just makes me cry, though, because I almost think that Pikachu dies.
Yeah, it's always affecting, even if you know they keep moving. There's the theory for Ash's coma. There's even theories that they both died, etc., etc. But no matter if you go by the story's canon that he just got up and walked away from it or whatever, it's always a good episode to start on, and fittingly enough, as it is the first, this one was pretty fun to talk about, and we hope you guys have enjoyed your time here with us on the Indigo Files. We hope you enjoy our kind of tour-style episodes. That's how the Indigo Files will be presented each time, and it's a little rapid, I know, but this is actually how we kind of decided we like doing these kind of episodes. We can get them done quick and with a lot of accuracy and a lot of cool discussion. So, either way, thanks for coming to the Self-Centered Podcast with the Indigo Files. My name has been John. That has been Britzy. She has been the beautiful.
He's been the nerdy.
And we'll see you in the next one.